Turn in your Bible this morning. We're going to look in two places, Leviticus chapter 23 and Exodus chapter 12. So we're going to start in Leviticus and then move over to the book of Exodus. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. It's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It's the agricultural calendar of Israel. There were two planting seasons in Israel because there were two rainfalls in Israel. You had the spring rains and the fall rains. You had the spring harvest and you had the fall harvest. It's a pattern of seasons. It's a pattern of harvesting. It's a pattern of labor and rest, just like God talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. So this is the seasonal year of Israel, but it's also their religious calendar. God changed the calendar in this chapter. Beginning in this chapter, the first month of the year is the month where they have Passover, the month of Abib, which they later on call the month of Nisan. In fact, Ezra and Nehemiah talk about the month of Nisan. But if you'll look at me, look with me, don't look at me, look at the Bible, okay? Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Then he talks about the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, for it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And then verses 4 and 5, the first major feast, the feast of Passover. These are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. Now, there are four feasts that happen in the spring. We're going to look at three in 3 weeks. We'll look at Passover. Next week, we'll look at unleavened bread. The next week, we'll look at first fruits, which is a picture of Jesus' resurrection, which will fall on Resurrection Sunday. 50 days after today, we will look at the Feast of Pentecost, because that's the birthday of the church. Then, when we get to September and October, we'll look at the other three feasts. The first four deal with the first coming of Jesus. The last three deal with the second coming of Jesus. This is God's redemptive calendar. It begins with Passover, the lamb being slain. It ends with the Feast of Tabernacles, our rest with God in heaven. What's the first thing you do to come to God? You become covered with the blood. That's the only way to approach a holy God, is through the lamb that was slain. And so the first feast is Passover. It begins with Passover and ends with Tabernacles. God made this the first month. He rearranged the calendar so that the calendar begins just like our Christian life begins with the lamb being slain. God restarts time for his people. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12 because that's where the first Passover is recorded. When you look at the lamb that was slain, there were four important times a lamb was slain. The very first altar in the Bible, a lamb was slain on by Abel. Abel brought a sacrifice of the flocks. Cain brought a sacrifice of the fields. And God accepted the blood sacrifice. Then the next important lamb that was slain was at the Day of National Deliverance, Passover, when God brings Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand. Then the first act that begins our lives and the life of the church is the lamb slain on the cross of Calvary, the cross. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, heaven is opened with the Lamb on the throne. You notice Revelation chapter 1, John has a vision of Jesus. Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, heaven is opened. And we see the sanctuary, and we see the Lamb on the throne. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, and said, "Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. In this chapter, the word throne appears 11 times. Verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him, and that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now, over and over again, this is called the Lord's Passover, because this is the Lord's plan. God always had a plan for a lamb to be slain. Abraham takes Isaac up Mount Moriah. 1,000 years later, Jesus is crucified on that spot in Jerusalem. But Abraham takes Isaac up to that altar, and Isaac says, "But Dad, where is the lamb?" And Abraham says, Genesis 22:8, "God will provide the lamb." And God has. It's to God's glory. This is the 10th judgment plague on the Egyptians. Exodus 32:11, what does it show? Exodus 32:11 says, let me find verse 11. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, "Thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand." The Passover was the mighty hand of God. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 9:29. We'll get to 16 in a minute. Deuteronomy 9:29. "Yet these are thy people, these are thine inheritance, which thou brought out by thy mighty power and thy outstretched arm." How did God show his power on the night of the Passover? It's the Lamb slain for us, 1 Corinthians 5:7. "For Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed." And what are the next two words in the Bible? "For us." What did we just read in Luke 22? "This is my body, which was shed for you." The whole purpose of the shed blood was for each one of us. It's at his appointed place. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 16. "Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God did choose to place his name on, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening, and at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt." God's lamb is only sacrificed at a certain time and in a certain place. Galatians 4:4 says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." This verse also says, "You shall not sacrifice the lamb within your gates." Hebrews 13:3 says, "Jesus was sacrificed without the gate," on the outside. Another fulfillment of God's word. So when we look at it, I told you there's six times in the Old Testament where it describes the Passover. It describes it in Exodus 12 in the wilderness, Numbers 9, Canaan, Joshua 5, the reign of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 30, good King Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35, and the return from captivity in Ezra chapter 6. Six Passover celebrations in the Old Testament, but only one in the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, when Jesus did it with his disciples. God's making a point. Now, the Passover was a bloody offering. Blood was shed, blood was caught, blood was sprinkled to appease the holy wrath of a sin-hating God, the holy wrath of a sin-punishing God. But 1 John 2:2 says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. A propitiation, a payment. And when a criminal commits a crime, only two people can pay for that crime: the guilty criminal or an innocent substitute. And in our case, Jesus was our substitute on the cross. Look with me in Exodus chapter 12 now. Exodus chapter 12. The situation is chapter 11, verses 4 through 10. Let me read that for you. Exodus 11, 4. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast." Now, it says all the firstborn in Egypt. Doesn't say all of the Egyptians. It was everybody in Egypt. That included the Jews, because everybody in that country was a sinner, just like everybody in the world is a sinner. The only sinners that escape the death angel are the sinners that are covered with the blood. So the death angel went all across the whole land. Now look at chapter 12, verse 1. "The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." Here again, God changes the calendar. The Jewish calendar begins with Passover. The Christian calendar of our lives begins with being saved by the blood of the Lamb. Billy Graham said getting saved is the end of the Christian life, but it's the front end. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Passover doesn't begin on the first day. Passover begins on the 10th day. 10 is the number of human responsibility. The 10 tribes of the north were judged. There were 10 plagues on Egypt. There were 10 virgins. One were foolish, and five were foolish, and five were wise. The number 10. On the 10th day, you pick a lamb. The lamb isn't killed until the 14th day. But you pick the lamb on the 10th day. Why? It gives you 4 days to look for blemishes, look for spots, look for any imperfections in that lamb so they can be the perfect sacrifice to cover sins. Jesus was born and lived 30 years in front of people. People had 30 years to look at the life of Jesus and to pick it apart. And yet, what did Pilate say? "I find no fault in him." What did the centurion say that crucified Jesus? "Truly, this was a righteous man." What does Hebrews 7:26 say? "He is a high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, eternal in the heavens." They had 30 years to examine the life of Jesus. They had 4 days to examine the lamb. And if the lamb was without blemish, then the lamb could be sacrificed on the 14th day. Now, look at what happens here. Look at verse 3, the last sentence. "According to the house of their fathers," what kind of lamb does it say in your Bible? A lamb, okay, so we have a lamb. Look at the next verse, verse 4. "And if the house be too small, too little for," what kind of lamb? "The lamb." But look at verse 5. What kind of lamb is that? "Your lamb." A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. Choosing Jesus as your Savior is a personal decision that deals with our personal sin our personal separation from God with a personal Savior. Jesus is not the Lamb, he is your Lamb for your life. The Lamb becomes personal to the individual person. A Lamb, the Lamb, your Lamb. Now look at it. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Not 10 months old, not 11 months old, the first year. Why? Not too young, not too old. Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30 years old, which was the same age a priest began to serve in the temple. 30 years old, not too young, not too old. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Look at verse 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it. The whole assembly kills the lamb. The whole assembly is responsible for the death of the lamb. Every one of us killed Jesus. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, every one of us were there at the cross. We put Jesus on the cross. Yes, we were there. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, it doesn't say the lambs, plural, because there were hundreds of lambs killed that night. But God says it, I think, because God had the lamb that was going to come 1,400 years later, Jesus. He had Jesus in mind when all the lambs were being killed that night. You shall kill it in the evening. Now, the evening is the evening sacrifice. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you check the Gospels, Jesus was put on the cross at the time of the morning sacrifice, 9 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus died at the time of the evening sacrifice on the cross, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It says in Luke 23:44, Jesus said at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time of the evening sacrifice, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he fulfills that. In the evening, verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two doorposts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Interesting. The blood provided protection on the outside, and then the lamb provided nourishment on the inside. They ate the lamb after they shed the blood on the doorposts. Very interesting. They ate the flesh. Look at verse 9. Eat not of it raw. It had to be fully cooked with fire. Jesus had to be fully judged in the judgment of God's judgment for our sin. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. Hebrews also says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so it was roasted with fire, and it was not raw. Look at verse 9. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Now, you've got a study Bible. What is pertinence in your study Bible note? The innards. Yes, the inner organs. The head, where you think. The legs, where you walk to do what you think about. And the insides, where you have your emotions, your feelings, your passions. It was a totally consumed sacrifice. Jesus was the complete sacrifice, the total sacrifice. Interesting. Nothing remained. You burned it all up. It was completely done that night. When Jesus died on the cross, he said to Tetelestai, it is finished. It is complete. Nothing more can be added to what Jesus did on the cross. There's nothing left over to do. It's past and it's done, which is why six times in the book of Hebrews says Jesus died once for all. Now look at verse 11. Thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded. They were getting ready to leave Egypt, okay? They were tied up their robes. They were ready to walk. They were ready to run. They hit the ground running afterwards. And guys, when we take the Lord's Supper and the blood of the Lamb is applied to us, we need to dress like we're traveling, because we don't live in this world. The world is not our home. We are pilgrims in this world. We dress like we're escaping. They escaped Egypt. They escaped bondage. They escaped sin. They escaped enslavement. And we escaped the world and everything there is here because of the Lamb that was slain for us, with your loins girded. Now, look at verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. Perry and I were talking this morning, and he's here this morning. He said, didn't take a piece of hyssop. It said, take a whole bunch, right? Or we would say with turnip greens, I got a mess of greens, all right? You take a mess of hyssop, and what do? You dip it in the blood, and you sprinkle it on the doorpost and the lintel. What does that tell us? Even if there's a perfect lamb, even if the lamb's blood is shed, the individual sinner has to apply the blood to their house or it doesn't count. Every sinner has to apply the blood for themselves. I don't care if your daddy was a preacher. I don't care if your granddaddy was a deacon. I don't care if you grew up in church. I don't care how many churches your name's on. I knew a guy that was baptized 3 times and sprinkled 3 times. He said, man, if water does it, I'm on my way. That doesn't matter either. The blood of Jesus, through your personal decision, you have to make yourself. The sinner had to apply the blood with the hyssop themselves. Wow. Now, look what else it says there. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 sideposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. That blood drips on the floor of the door. You stay in the house. You don't walk through the wet blood. You don't trample on the applied blood of the Lamb. You stay in the house till the blood's dry and applied. Folks, Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews 10:26, about people that willfully sin and reject Jesus. It says, there remaineth for them no more sacrifice. You don't stomp on the blood of Jesus by refusing him as your Savior. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit to be saved, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Once the blood's applied, you don't walk through it, you don't track through it, you don't trample through it. You respect what God's done to take away the sins of the world. In the Old Testament, the Lamb delivers the Jews from Egypt. In the New Testament, the Lamb delivers the Christian from sin. Our whole life is based on this. My hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. Next week we'll talk about the righteousness, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a progressive revelation in the Bible. A lamb was killed for a person. Genesis 22:7. The ram was sacrificed in the place of Isaac. Then, Exodus chapter 12, lambs were slain for families on Passover night. Then Isaiah 53 talks about a lamb slain for the nation of Israel, the suffering servant. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The lamb was for a person. The lamb was for a family. The lamb was for Israel. The lamb was for the whole world when Jesus came. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, the Lamb is not just for the world. The Holy Lamb is for eternity. Revelation 5, beginning with verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." The Bible is a progressive revelation. God teaches us in stages. And when you see the Lamb in the Bible, it was for a person, then it was for a family, then it was for the nation of Israel, then it was for the world. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, is forever and ever. There's a song called "One Holy Lamb" that goes like this. "Atonement day, a shepherd cries, another spotless lamb must die. Oh, how could just one sacrifice our God Jehovah satisfy? Year after year, the blood would flow, but none could wash me white as snow. Salvation's day fulfilled the plan, the promise came. One holy lamb. One holy lamb washed my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy lamb washed my sins away." Now, the question becomes, how bad do people want their sins washed away? I think that you don't flirt with Jesus. I think you don't play with Jesus. I think you don't play church. I think you don't get Jesus for a fire insurance policy. I think you have to desire it like a drowning person reaching for a rope. If I don't grab that rope, I'm going to drown. And I think when a person realizes that Jesus is their only hope, Jesus is the only way to have peace, Jesus is the only way to have forgiveness, Jesus is the only way to have real purpose in life, and they reach out to him, then they put their faith in him and they're saved. One holy lamb washed our sins away. And you know what he says to us today? The whole Bible says, based on Passover, and this is the Easter season. I don't like Easter. Easter's a pagan holiday. I honor Resurrection Sunday. I don't practice Easter. I practice Resurrection Sunday. Okay? You can do Easter if you want to, with Easter bunnies and eggs and everything else, okay? It's about Jesus rising from the dead after he was in the tomb for 3 days. But you know what God says to you and me today? Because we have the Lamb in our life. He says what he says in the book of Revelation. He says to you and I this morning, "Behold the Lamb." Focus on the Lamb. Concentrate on the Lamb. Live for the Lamb. Because the Lamb is the Savior of the world. We're going to sing an invitation hymn number 315.